Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor to be here with brothers and sisters with one purpose, really, and that's to come to you, to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And so, Lord, we just thank you for gathering us here this morning and thanking you for the access purchased by your blood. And Lord, as we begin by looking at a prayer in the Bible, Lord, there's so much to learn. And we want to look to you, Lord, because you are our everything, including our teacher in prayer and so forth, Lord. So lead us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I saw the theme of the conference, sowing with tears and reaping with joy, I immediately thought of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, about the prayer in the garden, about that awesome time when Jesus prayed three times, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not your will, but my will be done. And there's so many things we could spend all day on this prayer and never even plumb near the bottom of it, but just a number of things jump out that I just wanted to focus on a little bit this morning. The ultimate in sowing in tears, I think, was our Lord there on the cross. And certainly the ultimate in reaping with joy was accomplished, what he did there. And in Hebrews 5:7, we read, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with tears, vehement cries and tears, and was heard because of his godly fear. We see in the garden here of Gethsemane, certainly a place fittingly named because it's a place of crushing, and that's where Jesus was crushed. And when you see what he went through, the agony he went through, it's just unbelievable. And we can see, maybe you have seen the Passion of the Christ and so forth, and really relate a little bit to the physical suffering of Jesus, and which we can't even relate to that. But if you think about what happened on the cross, it was far greater than that, and that was that he took all of the sin on the world, my sin, your sin, sin of all times. And not only took the sin, he who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf, but he took the wrath of God. He took the wrath of God for all of this sin on himself. And that is something that's so far beyond, we will never figure that out, I don't think, on this side at all. But it certainly was the sowing in tears and reaping with joy. And then we read a little further on in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, as we are to lay aside every weight and sin so easily ensnares us, and what? Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to what? To the author and finisher of our faith, who what? For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame. So that's what we have here in this prayer. And since it really is on Golgotha, it really is, it's a little bit before the cross, but the cross is coming in next day, and we'll get into that tomorrow. But I do want to just begin both today and tomorrow in just singing together the old rugged cross, just to get our hearts really kind of knit together and focused on that time where this prayer took place. So let's sing along here. You can listen or you can sing along however you like.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and for a world of lost sinners was slain. So our church, we also kneel on the red cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will pray
Words are on the back here if you want them.
Gladly burn. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
So I cherish the cross.
The prayer I want to focus on is verse 39. Now Jesus has come to the Gethsemane after the Olivet Discourse, and you'll notice here that he has the 11 with him, and he chooses three to go a little further with him, and I think we can learn from that as well. It's good to have our friends praying for us. Very good. And maybe some special friends even a little closer to you praying, even maybe a little bit more intimately, but eventually, always comes eventually down to just you and the Lord. Jesus had to face this alone. And when we get really to the difficult times, I think we have to face them alone with the Lord. We can have other people praying, that's wonderful, but it comes down to just us and him, it seems. So he goes a little further after asking them to pray, and of course they don't, but that we could go into another study on that, but he goes a little further, and then he says these things, as you know. Falls on his face. In another place it says he fell on his side. It's like he's crushed there in Gethsemane with the weight of this. Saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible." Now, that's such an important aspect in prayer. We need to pray for what we believe is his will. But we always need to preface it or follow it with, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done," right? And we need to continue to really bang away on those things that we think we need to pray for. We know some things for sure that are in accordance with his will. Praying for the lost is always his will, right? We know that. Some things we're not quite so sure of. Now here Jesus is saying, really posing the question, which we really need to remember as we are sowing with the idea of reaping, and that is, it's the only way. This is the only way of salvation. The only way. There is no other way. Here is the Son of God praying to the Father of God, Father God, and saying, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, the cup stands for wrath. We have a bunch of scriptures in the notes here, and you can read those. But it shows how the cup really represents, generally in the Bible, the wrath of God. So if it is possible for this wrath of God to be satisfied any other way other than the cross, let it be done. That's what he's saying. And he prays that not once, but he prays it three times. And because that prayer was heard, as we just read, as I just quoted earlier in Hebrews chapter 5, and the prayer was heard because of his godly fears, he cried out with vehement cries and tears. God is saying there is no other way. There is no other way. And so the whole book of Galatians and everything else we have in the Bible about grace is sufficient. And there's Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Faith, grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all about what he has done, right? So as the atheists and others and so forth will badger around and say, oh, there's a lot of roads leading to Christ. The world says there's a lot of roads leading to Christ. There is none. There's only one way. Otherwise, this prayer of Jesus, if it is possible for another way, would have been answered. And it was answered, saying, there's no other way. So we need to remember that. If it is possible, let this cup, your wrath, pass from me. And then the important follow-on, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So as you're sowing, as you're ministering, as you're witnessing, it has to be in accordance with his will. Otherwise, it's for naught. And if he's not opening the door for you, you're going to waste your time trying to go through a closed door, really. Or at least it won't be effective. Because without him, we can do nothing. But when we see us doing his will, we read in 1 John, don't we? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, anything according to his will, we have the assurance that he hears us and he will give us the things we're asking for, because he wants to work through you. He wants to work through me. He wants to see fruit. He wants to see much coming in reaping from us. Often we think, well, nothing's happening. You know, all the Bible tells us to do is to be faithful, right? Can you save anybody? Is anybody in here think they can save one person? No possible way. It's all from the Holy Spirit, all from within. He didn't give us that ability. But he did tell us to tell the good news, didn't he? He did tell us, and that good news has to always include the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the bloody part. That's the sin part. That's the stumbling block part. That's the foolishness part. It's the cross. It's the cross. Mike mentioned it last night. Paul, with all his brilliance in Athens, didn't seem to accomplish too much. But then he said what? To the Corinthians, I preach nothing but Christ crucified. And church, for the most part, at least in the United States, largely has lost their focus on the cross, largely lost their focus on the blood and bringing in all these other things, you know. But it's the cross. It's that simple message. And we want to show that message really is a reflection of the fruit of the Spirit of one word, which is what? Love. His love for us. His love for us. So when people see his love shining forth through you, when they see his hope shining forth through you, when they see his peace shining forth through you, they're going to want that, right? Because all the busyness we have, all the social media, all of the instantaneous things we have, there's no hope in any of it, there's no peace in any of it, and there's no joy in any of it, is there? And that's what the world is searching for. And he is our answer, isn't he? So this morning we are here. I'd like to pray in a group for a while. And then before we're done, I'd like to break it down into just two-person groups so everybody can pray. And so you don't have to move chairs around too much at that point. Just join a person and then pray until the end, and then we'll close in a song. So let's take advantage of this time. We've got about 50 minutes to pray, and I don't know how many we have in here, but let's say we have 40 people in here. That's a lot of hours of prayer, isn't it? And we can accomplish more in this next 45 minutes, probably, than we can do any other way. Isn't that right? We all talk about prayer, but you're here to pray, and that's just so awesome. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to pray with my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we want to pray for what you put on our hearts today. We want to pray for the conference. We want to pray for the world, Lord. We want to pray for the lost. We want to pray for the church. We want to pray for the missionaries. We want to pray for all of the workers, your workers, and whatever you put on our hearts, Lord. We want to pray as the Spirit leads us to pray. So, Lord, we pray that you would enable us to keep our prayers short as led by the Spirit and not go off on our own. That's the power, when we don't want to quench any power that's in this room right now. And so, Lord, lead us now in this time of prayer. And as we get these things you give to us, may we just shout it out, because otherwise how can we agree with an amen, because we can't hear one another in a big room like this? It's kind of hard. But, Lord, at this point anyway, we want to shout it out a little bit so we can all hear. So lead us now. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.